Well, as you can see, we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper. And I love the song that we just sang, "May I Never Lose the Wonder." But you know, as flawed human beings, as sinful human beings, which basically means that we think of ourself first rather than God first, we have so much on our agenda and we have so many things that we concentrate on that we want that oftentimes we do forget important things. Am I the only one? How many of you have ever seen someone that you know and you know you're supposed to know them and you look at, in their face and they come in and you realize, I can't remember their name. See, that ever happened to anybody? Any of you ever lost things that were important? Any of you ever done something and realized, I should have been thinking of this? It's so obvious to you at night when you lay down and remember it. But it's hard to remember and to be aware of the important things all the time. As human beings, we get aware of what we need or we think is important to us at the moment. And oftentimes we just don't see things around us. That's just a part of being a human being, isn't it? And some of you I know think that my memory is not great. I just want you to know it's not old age, because I've suffered with memory trouble since I was in my mid-20s. I asked my wife, since we're doing Remember Me, I asked her, I said, tell me a funny story, about when I forgot something. Well, there's too many to go over right here. So I'm going to tell you one that was one that she thought, yeah, that's a funny story. And it has to do when I first started coaching football. And, you know, losing things and misplacing things is not uncommon for me. And I had this secondary coach. Actually, he was a basketball coach who coached secondary for me. I was a defensive coordinator in my first high school job, and I coached in his basketball, you know, not the starters coming up. I coached for him. And we just had this, you know, when you're young and sometimes, you know, you cringe a little bit at things that you did and you said, but you had a great time doing things and you just click with people. He was one of the guys we just clicked with. You know, I just love goading him into doing things. He loved goading me into doing things. And it became real evident real quickly when I got that job that I could not remember anything other than what I was concentrating on at the moment. And I'm going to tell you two stories, because I'll tell you this one so that you get a feel of what this guy was like, this relationship we had. I came in one time into the coach's office like normal. And, and I'm looking around like crazy, you know, for my hat. And I said, where's my hat? You know, we're fixing to go out to practice. Where's the hat? You know, and they're all laughing. And so I'm getting more and more irritated, unlike I would today with my spiritual self. But I'm starting to get upset with these guys, and I'm thinking somebody hid my hat. And I said, all right, I know one of you guys got my hat. Where's the hat? This is not funny, you know. And eventually one of them said, well, it's on your head. And so I went out, and I went to practice, and we came back in. Well, when we came back in, I couldn't find my keys. So now I'm looking for my keys, but I'm figuring that probably the way things went with the last one, that I misplaced it, they weren't playing a trick on me or something. So I'm searching everywhere for my keys. And everybody leaves except for Wallace. He's still there. And so at any rate, I finally say, look, where am I? You know, I can't find my keys. He goes, they're in the freezer. I said, what do you mean they're in the freezer? He said, they're in the freezer. And at that time, he knew I was irritated. So he goes, Coach used to put them in there. And so I open this up, and I find my keys in the freezer. And, you know, I put them. I'll tell you what, I am waiting to get there in the morning to see Coach Hughes, because the coach is always coming there in the morning. So I come in the morning, and I say, hey, what are my keys doing in this refrigerator, you know, in the freezer? What did you put them in there for? Like, he's going, what are you talking about? You know, and so I figure out that he didn't put them in there. Wallace did. So I look over on the table, and there's Wallace's grade book. So I take that grade book and I put it in the freezer. And then we go off. Now, Wallace coached PE with me in the afternoons, but he coached history and social studies in the morning. And so you guys know me, so you know that this. He comes in the afternoon, he starts looking for that grade book. I forgot I put it in the freezer. I'm helping them look for it. I'm searching all around. We turn that place upside down. We can't find it. He's all upset because we're coming towards the end of the quarter, and he's got to have grades, and they're all gone. And I'm feeling for him because we're close friends, and so I'm searching all over for this thing. We cannot find it. So about 2 weeks later, he goes to get some ice out of the freezer, and he opens it up, and his grade book's in there. And he says, what is my grade book doing in the freezer? And I said, that's when I remembered. And I said, oh yeah. I said, I put it in there. He said, what did you put it in there for? I said, because you put my keys in there. So he takes it and he lets it thaw out. When he thaws out, all the ink runs and every one of his grades for the 9 weeks is gone. But see, just to let you know kind of what Wallace is like, he is this meticulous guy. You know people like that. He's got everything. He knows every kid and knows about what they're going to. He says, I don't think it'll be a problem. I'll just give the kids what I think that they earned. And he didn't have a single complaint. Now, if I would have done that, that would not have worked so good. But anyway, well, I think that gives you enough memory story. I won't tell the other one. Maybe I'll save that for later, the one I was going to tell. But memory is difficult for us to have. We don't naturally remember things that we ought to remember. I should have remembered I hid that grade book, but I forgot about it. We should always be remembering what Christ did for us, but if we're honest, we often forget about it, and that's why the Lord's Supper is instituted. This is a time when we are supposed to remember. We're supposed to stop and remember. Because if we're honest, a lot of us, we want to honor Christ, and we come in for services like this, and we have different times in our lives where we stop. But we often forget about what God has really done for us. We forget that we're not our own, that we were purchased with the blood of Christ. And we sometimes forget what an awesome display of love, the sacrifice that Christ gave us was. I like this little cartoon. It says, honey, what's the password? Our anniversary date. She did this on purpose. We forget things we ought to remember, don't we, sometimes? And I think that's why God is always telling us to remember his word. And throughout the Old Testament, there are signposts that are put up that we are supposed to remember over and over again. The Bible says, remember. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. You know, it's easy for them to forget. It's easier for their children to forget. It's really easy for the grandchildren that were never actually in Egypt to forget. You know, it is more difficult in the third and fourth generation in a Christian family for those kids to remember what life was like without Christ, because they're in a Christ-centered area. They're shielded from a lot of those things. And so they need to remember what that's like. Remember all the way that I, the Lord your God, have led you. Sometimes when you sit and you count your blessings and you go back over your life, sometimes I sit with people and I just ask them to tell me what God has done for them before. And when they start talking about it, they start realizing, wow, God has really intervened in my life a lot. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? It's easy to forget how much God has done to orchestrate your life to bring you where you are. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Some of us say, well, it's too late for that. Okay. But we've got people in here it's not too late for. But it is always better for us to discipline ourselves to remember who God is, what he's done, who we are, and what he wants out of us in a relationship with him, not just as his servants, but as his children that he cares for. We need to remember those things and put them in our mind. Remember and obey my commandments. But I tell you what, if we're going to be honest, for most people who claim to be followers of Christ, it's hard for them to remember that nothing in their life is going to have eternal meaning that is not in line with what God is telling them to do. that for them to be alone with God and develop that relationship where he can speak to them and guide their lives through his word is very important for them. But how many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, how many of you have been like me at times where you are so pressed for different things that even if you discipline yourself to read the Bible, it does not have your full concentration? And you're not remembering that nothing is more important in your life than hearing the voice of Christ and following him. We need to remind ourselves that God tells us those things for our good and for our benefit. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. You know, sometimes we don't really see the significance of a time like this, that we just set this time aside and we say, you know what? Nothing in this world is more important than the Lord. And I am going to take this time where I stop, even though I could be doing other things. Some of you would like to be sleeping right now. Please, none of you do. But there's lots of things that we could be doing. But this is a reminder. It's not like this time is more special than any other time. It's special because all of us are here together, united, to worship the Lord. But it's a time where we say, hey, we're taking this time out of the week and we're scheduling things around this because God is important to us all the time, and we're doing this to remind ourselves that we got to make some sacrifices if God wants to be first. We arrange our schedules around his. We don't arrange his schedule around ours. It is easy to slide into that, isn't it? It's easy to slide into that, to whereas I can't take the time to fit God into my personal life. I don't understand why I don't have an intimate relationship with him, but I am looking to grab moments when it's convenient with me to meet with him, rather than looking and saying, I'm not going to let anything crowd out the time that I have set apart for him. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Lord's Supper is about remembering. And it happens in the shadow of the cross. Now, the disciples didn't really understand that, but Jesus did. He knew what was coming before them. He knew what the test of life was. He knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew what they were going to have to go through. And he knew that if they didn't remember all the things that he had done, they would not be able to take and put life in context. And so he's giving them something to be able to remember the essentials of faith. And all of it is in the shadow of that cross. 1 Corinthians 11:23-24 says this: on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Now, most of you who've been in church very long, you know that the bread represents his what? It represents his body, which was broken for us. And so he's saying, stop, take this physical symbol. The bread is not his body. Eating the bread doesn't mean Christ comes alive in your life. It is a symbol of what God did for you that you can take in your hands and remember that Jesus Christ was an actual person. He is a historical figure. He physically suffered the penalty for your sin on this earth. It happened on that cross. God vividly displayed the seriousness of sin when we look at what Jesus Christ had to pay for us. We should have been on that cross, but he took his life and substituted it for our life. And he endured those lashes of the whip. He endured the crown of thorns. He endured the nails through his hand. He endured the torture of that Christ, of that cross. Because God sees what our sin really is. To us, we only see how it affects us. And we know that our sin is negative. But we don't understand the ripple effects of what our sin does inside of other people. We don't understand the seriousness of our sin, so we really can't comprehend God's anger at the rebellion and rejection of the loving life that he wants us to lead, that selfishly we reject without concern about what happens to anyone else, unless the consequences of that somehow come in and crimp the style of our life. And then we realize we're sorry for it. God sees that full picture. He understands what the end result of our rejection of Him and our enthroning of ourselves as our own God and King, that we make life what we want it to be for us, and we worry about the consequences later, or many of us not at all. He sees that. And the Bible says that, yes, the anger of God comes upon that. And God's wrath at the destruction of especially the individuals that He created, that many of us are a part of and completely unaware of how our sin has destroyed the hopes, the dreams, the self-concept, the self-worth. We're not aware of how we have damaged other people. And if it doesn't affect us, if we're honest about it, once we go on with life and there's a period of time, we don't care. And God sees that attitude, and it makes Him angry. And we, when we take the Lord's Supper and we take that bread in our hand, we realize that, yes, we are very fortunate that God loved us enough that He would forgive us and that He would pay the penalty of that sin, enable to allow us to repent or to change the way we think and embrace Him and take His forgiveness and try to allow His Holy Spirit to bring us out of that self-centered life that we have that's destroying us and those around us. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not bad. And so we are here merely by grace, simply because God loves us. And He died a horrible death on that cross so that we would remember what it's like to be a slave in Egypt, what it's like to be a slave to our own self-centered desires. So we might start to even realize that, so that we would push away from it and turn to Him. And so that symbol and that physical thing that we're going through, when we do the Lord's Supper, it's not to be here and to just thank God for the blessings of what He's given us and to be grateful for His presence. It's to remind us why we're even in God's presence. We don't deserve to be in God's presence. But because of His love and His mercy, we are. And it should bring in us such an overwhelming upheaval of emotion that just says, thank you for your grace. And it makes us want to serve Him because we see how good He is. On the night when He was betrayed, it's not just in the backdrop of the cross, but it's also a reminder that the betrayal of Jesus happens right here. And He knows it. As a matter of fact, in Luke, His words are this: "But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me." That's an interesting thing for Jesus to say at this last supper, isn't it? But He knows that God has given each one of us free will. And as we come, we examine ourselves first to see the seriousness of our sin pictured in that body of Christ. We see the love of God and the mercy of God. And then we have to decide whether we will remember that as we pick up and leave, or if this is just some kind of a little ritual we do that has no real meaning in our lives. That we will take that Lord's Supper to remember what God did for us, get up and walk out with no intention to do anything for Him. And that's why the Lord's Supper is a serious thing. I love this cartoon. Here's this guy. It says, "Tests show that you're not losing your memory. Are you doing anything worth remembering?" You know, I know there have been a lot of times in my life I couldn't say yes to that. But that's really the crux of why He says stop. He wants His people to stop and remember who He is. Remember what He's done. Remember what our life is about. Remember whose we are, so that when we walk out, we are freshly renewed and committed to who we live for, not the world, not our job, not even our family. We know that when we seek Him first, all those things will be added to us, but we cannot manipulate all those things to be what we want and what God wants them to be. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." The blood of Christ reminds us of the love that God has that we just cannot comprehend. Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he," what? "Lays down his life for his friends." Think about that. The God who created the universe wants to be your friend. Your king wants to have a relationship with you in which he is your best friend, and you at least try to be a good friend to him. We can't be God's best friend, I know. But he invites us into that friendship. He died on the cross and poured out his blood. He gave his life that we might know him. And the Bible tells us that he died for us that we might what? That we might live for him. And if we try to save our own life, we're going to what? We're going to lose our life. But if we lose our life for him, if we give our life to him, we will find true life. Because he is the giver of life. And he paid the price to buy us, that we might have life in all its... Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ did not die for us and then take away our free will? He died for us that we might be free and not enslaved by our self-nature that keeps pushing us to make poor choices and short-sighted choices, but that we would listen to the creator of the universe before we make those choices. So whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The third thing that we look at that this Lord's Supper is showing us is this: Jesus Christ is coming again. Boy, it's easy to forget that too, isn't it? It's easy to forget that Jesus Christ is a historical figure that actually lived on this earth. He died on that cross. No real historian disputes that. We know by faith why he did it, because God reveals it to us as he reveals himself. And we understand that that sacrifice was individually for us because God calls us through his Holy Spirit. When we come into the family of God, it's because the Holy Spirit opened our eyes and we realized that not just that God is real, but that God is right here. And he is speaking to us as an individual, and he's calling us to let go of the life that we have and to give ourselves to him. And we know in our hearts, and sometimes it's a big stroke, we know that God is calling us and that Christ died for us. He's coming again too. And we don't live for this world. We live for what is coming. And so all those things are wrapped up in the Lord's Supper. And I'm going to ask Jim to come with the men who are going to serve us right now. And I want you, as we do this Lord's Supper, we're going to pass the elements out to you. And I want this to be a time where you remember. Where you remember Christ. Where you think and meditate on what he has done for you. So Jim, if we'll pass out the, thank you. If we'll pass out the bread, I'm just going to let this time be one of silence where you pray and where you meditate upon the body of Christ being broken, being tortured for the payment of your sin. Where you realize that the anger of God will never fall upon you. Because Jesus Christ took the punishment and the penalty for your sin on himself, and you are freed from fear of God. Well, gentlemen, please pass out the elements. Well, together, as Christ's body here on earth, his body of believers, we're going to take this element together. In Luke 21:19, Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. So let's pray before we eat. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us so much, even though we can't understand why, that you would come on this earth and take human form. And fully God and fully man. In the body of Jesus Christ, you suffered the penalty for every sin committed. You gave your life for us. Your body was broken. Our sins were paid. And though we don't deserve it, we have been freed from that prison of guilt. And we now, in thanks, can look to you and search to understand your love and grace for us. In Christ's name, we thank you for this. Amen. Well, let's break that bread and let's partake. He broke it in pieces, gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." We'll now pass out the elements that symbolize the blood of Christ. And as these are being passed out, I want you to think about and bring to your memory, bring to your attention, bring to your focus the love that Jesus Christ must have had in his heart to go through all he went through for you. Think of the sacrifices you might make for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your friends. And then think about even when you were enemies of God, working against him, working for your will, not his will. Think about what he did on the cross for you, because that's the expression of love that he had. Let's pass these out. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." As we partake of this, let us think about what God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we hold in our hand just a symbol of the blood that Christ shed for us. And as we partake of this, we pray, Father, that you will help us to keep in the forefront of our mind and to always remember what you did to show your love to us. Help us to never forget that love. Never forget that sacrifice. Never forget the cost that you paid that we might be in your family. That we might be your children called by your name who represent you and who you are to this world. And we thank you for the blood that was shed for us on that cross. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Drink with me. I want you to have this one thought as we finish out, that Jesus Christ died on that cross and he poured out his own blood as a sacrifice for you, that you might know the love of God. I love that quote that says, "It was not the nails that held Jesus on the cross. It was his love for you and me." And that cross symbolizes that. And the Bible tells us that we are supposed to fulfill the sufferings of Christ. That seems a little bit strange because his sacrifice on that cross paid for all of our sins. But we don't all see that. And if we don't embrace Christ, that sacrifice can't be applied to us. And just like Jesus Christ came in the flesh so that people could take that word of God that they might not understand, and when they saw it lived in his life and they saw the love of God through that sacrifice, that word became alive. They saw God's love and they responded to him. My question to you is, how do you pour out your life as a sacrifice that others might know the love of God. That is a big part of what we are reminding ourselves that we are commissioned to do by God. Jesus Christ is not coming back on earth to die on the cross again so that these multitudes can see that God really loves them. He lives inside of us. And we need to remember the sacrifice of Christ, that we are now His, and that the love that God had for us now dwells inside of us. And that, yes, the sacrifices we make for others, they're a big deal. They represent us living for Christ. And we are grateful that God helps us to do that.